everyone, and welcome to the Film for Fans podcast, the podcast from movie fans for movie fans. I'm your host, Ryan Dunleavy. That is my co-host, Rob Dunham.
Yes, it is.
And we are back with another rousing episode of Film for Fans podcast, where we will, of course, give you the latest on the box office. We will give you a rundown of the movies coming out this weekend. And for our discussion, we will give you the entire holiday season movie guide. This is your one-stop shop for all of the movies coming out over the holiday season. And we will finish off with our watch list, movies we've watched over the last week. And we've got a couple other stories we might throw in there as well. All right, well, let's jump right in with the box office. And we have two new releases at the top of the box office. However, questionable on the results there. Number one in the box office last weekend was Now You See Me, Now You Don't. $21 million for Now You See Me, Now You Don't. Number two, another new release, The Running Man did $16.4 million. Number three in its second week was Predator Badlands did $12.7 million. However, that is a 68% drop from week one to week two. Regretting You in its fourth week did $3.7 million. That has a four-week total of $44 million. And number five was Black Phone 2 in its fifth week did $2.6 million. For a five-week total of $74.6 million. A number of interesting things up here. What catches your eye?
So the first thing I'll say is that the top five of the box office, doing some simple math, came out to a little bit under $50 million.
Hey, yeah, so it's right around 50. $50
million. There's a movie coming out this week that reports indicate will be three times that by itself.
Yeah.
So we're going to see an improvement on the box office this coming weekend. We're going to talk about what that movie is, among others. But I think it's a little disappointing for both Now You See Me and The Running Man.
Mm-hmm.
I think they probably both wanted to do a little better than that.
Yeah. I did see The Running Man this week. And I was the only one in the theater.
Wow.
Yep.
People were not running to see that one.
And yeah, there's good reason why not. But that we will save that for the watch list section of this particular thing. We will not get too heavily into that. I was surprised Now You See Me, Now You Don't didn't do better. Now, at the same time, I don't think there was like a massive marketing campaign for this one. Because the first two did pretty well, and the first two are pretty popular. But I don't remember them really rolling out much of a marketing campaign for this one to get this out to the audience. And then to put it the week before Thanksgiving, when everyone's looking forward to the holiday weekend, like, I guess technically it's a week and a half before Thanksgiving, but still, like, the timing of it's a little bit strange, I think.
Yeah.
Also, Predator Badlands, I did not see it, but I heard that it seemed to be decent, but 68% drop off between week one and week two is pretty rough.
I mean, it would certainly indicate that almost anyone who wanted to see it saw it the opening weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last two are just kind of hanging on because nothing else has come out or dominated the box office at this point. So yeah. Any more thoughts on now? My question is, like, does Now You See Me, Now You Don't just get completely snowed under starting this weekend?
I think pretty much everything's going to get snowed under this weekend.
Yeah.
Based on the numbers we're seeing projected. But yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know if it's a good thing for the box office. This one movie so completely dominates that, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Easily, I think none of the movies from 2 through 5 this week are going to make over 20 million.
No,
maybe not even 15 million.
No, and it's like, man, Just
So the question is it a good thing or a bad thing for the box office if one movie so completely dominates to raise the overall level of the box office?
I think it's good for the theaters to have something that lots of people want to come see, because at least it gets people into theaters. Because the box office total of the top 10 is going to jump like 300%,
Yeah.
and so that's good from that standpoint. But just the fact that like Hollywood can't manage to produce m more than one movie that even comes close to this in the holiday season is just kind of like, oof. Yeah. But that is
Yeah.
a good trend. Go
I
ahead.
mean, I was looking at some overall numbers and I saw that the box office from the last year before COVID, compared against this year to date, the box office is down 34%. Compared to the last year before COVID to date. However, it's up 3.5% from last year. So I guess we're seeing, I guess that's slightly better. We're trending in the right direction, but I also am not sure how that will carry through to the end of the year.
I think anyone who's paying close attention will just tell you like the quality of the movie is just as subpar. And the amount of movies that are of any sort of decent realm has just been subpar for several years now. And that's kind of surprising considering with the strike, there was supposed to be this backlog of movies waiting to come out. And then like we're still waiting for there to be good movies out. But yeah, we'll
That's
see.
okay, Ryan, because Zootopia 2 is going to come save us all.
Well, let's transition to what's coming out this weekend. And of course, probably, well, we can have a discussion about which movie is actually going to end up grossing more between the two releases here. But the one coming out this weekend that's going to dominate the box office is, of course, Wicked for Good. Wicked for Good is rated PG. It's 2 hours and 17 minutes. And the storyline here is Elphaba, the future Wicked Witch of the West, and her relationship with Glinda, the Good Witch of the North, the second of a two-part feature film adaptation of the Broadway musical. Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande are your main characters here, and plenty of other actors alongside. So, Wicked for Good is your primary release this week. There are two other movies. Rental Family, PG-13, 1 hour, 50 minutes. An American actor in Tokyo struggling to find his purpose lands an unusual gig working for a Japanese, quote unquote, rental family agency, playing stand-in roles for strangers. He rediscovers purpose, belonging, and the beauty of human connection. And the main star here is Brendan Fraser. And another one coming out this weekend. Sisu, Revenge, Road to Revenge, rated R, 1 hour, 28 minutes. A man returns to dismantle his family's house where they were murdered in war to rebuild it elsewhere. When the killer, a Red Army commander, tracks him down, a brutal cross-country pursuit begins. Of course, this is the second Sisu movie after the first one that came out a few years ago, which got great reviews. Did you see that original
I
Sisu?
did not, but seeing the trailers for this one makes me kind of want to see the first one.
I really want to see the first one too. It's been on my list forever. I just haven't gotten around to it. Rental Family looks half decent as well, but clearly the focus here is on Wicked for Good. So, Rob, this is up your alley. What are you thinking about Wicked for Good?
Well, it's gonna destroy the box office, actually. I already know what the numbers are projected to be because I've been tracking this because it's the movie, maybe the movie I've been looking forward to most all year. And at the moment, they're saying that it'll be $150 million opening weekend, which is very significant, and 35% higher than the opening weekend of the first one. So it's on their far projections are that it could approach $1 billion, which is an absolutely insane for a musical worldwide. Because the previous one set the record for a musical worldwide, and that was only 793 million, something like that. So this would absolutely destroy that number.
Yeah, it's going to absolutely dominate the landscape of the theaters for the next several weeks for sure. And the question is, how high will it go? That's really the question. It's not, is it going to be popular? Will people see it? No, the question is, how high is it going to go?
Yeah, one thing that
Big
I've
number.
seen about people's reactions to it is that it kind of seems like if you're a fan of the first one, you're going to be a fan of this one, but that it has a darker tone than the first one. So I'm kind of wondering if that will affect the overall box office numbers as you go from week to week, because I think the second one continued momentum because of how positive it was and how much it was a family movie and that drew more people in. So I'm wondering if this movie will be the same or if it will have a different kind of effect with just because it tells a lot more of the story of the descent of Elphaba's character into the Wicked Witch, and her embracing that. And that's a fairly dark story,
Yeah.
especially when you find out who some of the characters involved become or turn into or develop into.
Yeah. Yeah. I am not looking forward to it, but that's fine. I'm not
I'll
a musical
probably see it at
person.
least 4 times in the theater. I'm just going to say that right now. So,
I bet you will.
and I've had my tickets for tomorrow night for 3 weeks. So,
Nice. Very nice. But that works out for me because I can probably go see Now You See Me, Now You Don't, and won't have any problems getting tickets for that.
yeah, you might be the only person in the theater for that one too.
I might, it's possible. But it will be a big number. So are you sticking with the 150 million projection? Is that your guess for this one?
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm seeing they're saying, so I'm thinking right around that number probably. I mean we know that it did. The Friday numbers are officially out and it did $68.2 million just for Friday.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Just for context, we're recording this on a Saturday. So that's why we
Yeah.
know what the Friday projections are for this
Yeah.
movie. Any other thoughts on the box office for this weekend?
Not really. There's going to be
Okay.
a lot of people in pink and green at the movie theater this weekend.
There will be. All right. So, two quick stories for you. We have bids submitted for Warner Brothers Discovery. Warner Brothers Discovery is up for sale, and we have seen bids from Paramount. We've seen bids from Comcast, and interestingly enough, bids from Netflix. Rob, do you have any takes on this particular story?
My first thought is, and this is what I saw in the article that I read, that this could be potentially industry altering, depending on which way this goes. So
Yeah.
if you imagine a world where Netflix wins this, that completely changes the entire landscape of movies, and I really wonder what they do with the Warner Brothers Discovery
Yeah.
intellectual property. Or if they ex they does that cause Netflix to expand more into the theatrical side, or does it make them bring the Warner Brothers Discovery content to be more insular? I think you would have to think they'd make more money by going the way that they expand the theatrical side, because that's where the real money is at the box office. But only time would tell if that was the scenario.
It looks like, from just a quick scan of the article, that Netflix and Comcast bid on the company's studios and streaming assets. So it looks like the bids from Netflix and Comcast were slightly more narrow than the Paramount's bid was, which is interesting. Where Comcast's offer would see NBC Universal become the parent company of Warner Brothers digital assets and would not involve a spin out of NBC Universal, as some have speculated. So they're hoping that they're going to announce a sale mid to late December, which would be really interesting to see where we land by the time we hit Christmas in terms of the Warner Brothers content. And where, like, the big deal here is, like, Warner Brothers is obviously a huge studio, and who ends up with them determines quite a bit. in terms of how movies are released, where movies are released, what the landscape for content looks like, and where you can access that content is going to change drastically based on who wins this bid and what they plan on doing with it.
Yep, it's going to be something to keep an eye on.
I only put one of these in the box off or in the rundown, but we've had a couple of interesting trailers drop. You got the first trailer for The Hunger Games: Sunrise on the Reaping, which is going to come out this time next year. And you got the second trailer for a project that's coming out much sooner, and that's Project Hail Mary, which was interesting. Did you get a chance to watch either of those trailers?
I did not know.
Okay. By the way, have you read Project Hail Mary, the book?
No.
So Project Hail Mary was a book by Andy Weir, the same guy who wrote The Martian, that the film was based on, the film The Martian was based on. So they are adapting his next book after that, Project Hail Mary, into a film with Ryan Gosling. Now, what's interesting about this trailer is what it does is it makes it interesting as to what the story structure for the film is going to look like. Because if you read the book for Project Hail Mary, what you the way the book is written is you are hearing the story from the standpoint of the main character. So you learn things as the main character learns things. So all the revelations come to you as they come to the main character. But from the trailer of this, you already get a big reveal that was later in the book. You get that in the trailer. So that makes you wonder what the story structure for the movie is going to look like, given the fact that they've already kind of given you one of the pieces of the discovery out in the trailer. And so I'm wondering, the question is like, did they not think the audience would appreciate it, like would be able to get the story if they didn't give you some of that stuff up front? So it's just kind of interesting what the trailer says about what the story structure is going to be for this film. But it's going to be interesting. We will link to the Project Hail Mary trailer in the show notes if you have not had a chance to do that. And I do recommend Project Hail Mary, the book. It is really good. And if you're an audiobook person, the audiobook is excellent as well. The narrator is really good. I like his voice. He's done a number of projects that I really like him. So check out Project Hail Mary, the trailer, and the book as well. All right. And now we move on to our discussion. And our discussion for because we're going to give you a rundown of all the movies coming out over the holiday season. Over the next month, there's a number of movies coming out, and you're going to get a chance to hear from us which ones we're looking forward to the most and what you can expect to come out. So we'll do this. We'll do all of November, because we already hit up Wicked for Good. And so we'll hit November 26th, because we have some stuff that's coming out this weekend and some stuff that's coming out on Thanksgiving Day. So we have that unusual Thursday release of a bunch of movies because of Thanksgiving. So obviously Wicked for Good came out this weekend. November 26th, you have three movies of interest here. Number one, you have Eternity. And Eternity stars Miles Teller and Elizabeth Olsen. And it is kind of a romantic comedy in which, in the afterlife, where souls have 1 week to decide where to spend eternity, Joan is faced with the impossible choice between the man she spent her life with and her first love, who died young and has waited decades for her to arrive. So, kind of a interesting spin on the afterlife. Then you have a limited release of the movie Hamnet, which is has Paul Pascal from Gladiator 2, as well as Jesse Buckley. And this is basically a powerful story of love and loss that inspired the creation of Shakespeare's timeless masterpiece, Hamlet. So Hamnet is basically playing the character of Hamnet is playing William Shakespeare's wife is in this. So it's kind of like a period piece about some of the inspiration behind Hamlet, one of the most famous works of William Shakespeare. So you get a limited release on Thanksgiving if you're in one of those theaters, and then you get a full release on December 12th. In very similar veins, Wake Up Dead Man comes out on Thanksgiving. And Wake Up Dead Man is the third installment of the Knives Out series. And it's given a limited theatrical run by Netflix. They did this for the last one as well. And you will have the chance to see it in theaters. Start coming up in a couple days. And then it will be on Netflix on December 12th. So if you want to see it in theaters, you can see it in theaters on November 26th in a theater near you. So what do you make of these three movies? Eternity, Hamnet, Wake Up Dead Man.
So just one small correction or note. Hamnet was William Shakespeare's son, not his
Son,
wife.
sorry.
Yeah.
Did I say wife? I said wife,
You
didn't
did.
I?
You
Okay.
did. Yep.
Yes, Hamnet. A little
A
different. Wife,
little different. Yeah,
son.
Hamlet was
Yeah.
directly influenced by that whole situation with him. So no, Hamnet is not a typo. It was his son.
Yes.
So also Zootopia 2 opens
Yes.
up the
Zootopia
26th
2
of November,
comes out as well.
which I think might possibly make the most because
It might.
it's, yeah, because it's gonna have a huge family audience being drawn to it. I'm very interested in Hamnet because I've always loved Shakespeare ever since I was in high school when I first started studying
For
the
sure.
stuff that he wrote. So I'm really intrigued by the background story
Yeah.
surrounding Hamlet, also because Hamlet is by far my favorite Shakespeare thing. So
In the wall on my office, I have Hamlet Act 3, Scene 1 on in a poster on my wall in my office. So I am definitely a big fan of the Hamlet tragedy.
yeah, and I mean, I do find the concept of eternity to be attention grabbing too. I think that will be something that hopefully a romantic comedy done involving the afterlife and that kind of ethical dilemma about what you do in that scenario will be has potential to be good and funny. And obviously I'm interested in Wake Up Dead Man because I've loved both the Knives Out movies so far, so I have no reason to believe that this one won't be enjoyable as well. I'm also one of the things I'm most looking forward to about Wake Up Dead Man is that Jeremy Renner is set to be in this movie, and in the last movie they had Jeremy Renner's hot sauce in the movie, and now he's gonna be like fully in the movie. So I
Yeah.
really hope that they reference it.
I had mixed feelings about the second one. Because if you remember, the original one was a theatrical release. It did really, really well. Then Netflix bought the rights to several sequels and produced the second one. And they did the same thing. They did a limited release and then they released it on Netflix. And I like there were parts of it I liked, but there were parts of it I really didn't. And so I'm hoping this one really does really well, but I'll probably try to see this one because it's going to have such a limited release in theaters. I'll probably try to get to see it in theaters because I want to see it in theaters if I can.
Yeah, I would say for me, out of the ones that I did see through Netflix, I thought this was the best one that they did,
Yeah.
my personal opinion, as far as quality goes.
Yeah. For sure. All right, let's move on to December. Now in December, we have an interesting one on December 5th. And December 5th, the one I'm highlighting here is the whole is Kill Bill, the whole bloody affair. They are releasing Kill Bill. The entire thing, both films together with some like 7 or 8 minutes added in as well in IMAX. And they're doing it in 70 millimeter and 35 millimeter for screens. So that's really interesting. Also, you have Five Nights at Freddy's 2 come out. So you get a random horror released in the middle of the Christmas season. So what do you well, we'll come back to that. We'll go through some of the other ones in December as well. Apparently I put some of these out of order. Okay. For December 12th, you have a couple of films out. You get Ella McCrae or McKay, Ella McKay, an idealistic young woman juggles her family and work life in a comedy about people you love and how to survive them. And the star here is Emma McKee, and Woody Harrelson are in this one. And then you get the full release of Hamnet. If your theaters did not release it on Thanksgiving, you also get the Netflix release of Wake Up Dead Man on December 12th. And then on December 19th, we get four movies that come out. You get Avatar, Fire and Ash, my least anticipated movie of the year. Yet another Avatar movie that's going to make way, way, way too much money and is going to have a ridiculous and dumb storyline. But yeah, and then we're still going to get more Avatar movies. Ugh. Anyway, all right, Avatar. I will give it its due. Avatar, Fire and Ash. Jake and Neytiri's family grapples with the grief after Netayam's death, encountering a new aggressive Na'vi tribe, the Ash people, who are led by the fiery Varang. As the conflict on Pandora escalates and new moral focus emerges. And of course, you have all of the returning cast for this one. You're going to get Kate Winslet, you're going to get Zoe Saldana, Edie Falco, Sigourney Weaver, Giovanna Ribisi, Sam Worthington, you know. It's got the full crowd on that one. Then you have David. And David, if I can find it, because it's hard to look up David on it's hard to look up David in IMDb to get because there's so many Davids. Okay, there we go. From his mother's song to his clash with Goliath, David's journey from humble shepherd to anointed king tests the limits of faith, courage, love, culminating in the battle for the soul of a kingdom. And this is an animated adventure on the biblical story of David. And you're getting Phil Wickham stars as David in this particular one. So if you're familiar with Phil Wickham, he will be the lead actor in that. Then you get Is This Thing On? And starring Laura Dern and Bradley Cooper, directed by Bradley Cooper. And as their marriage unravels, Alex faces middle age, divorce, and seeking new purpose in New York comedy scene. So you get a kind of a comedy drama from Bradley Cooper on the 19th. And then the last one for the 19th is The Housemaid. And The Housemaid stars Amanda Seyfried and Sydney Sweeney, and you get the psychological thriller. A struggling woman is happy to start over as a housemaid for an affluent elite couple, and things go awry. All right, let's pause there. So we've got, well, now let's just keep going, and then we got one more week, and then we'll get through which ones we're most looking forward to. On Christmas Day, on December 25th, you get Anaconda, starring Steve Zahn and Jack Black and Paul Rudd and Tandy Newton. And a group of friends are going through a midlife crisis. They decide to remake a favorite movie of their youth, but encounter unexpected events when they enter the jungle. So you get kind of like a mashup of like adventure, horror, action, and comedy with this particular one. And should be interesting. Then you get Marty Supreme. And Marty Supreme stars Timothy Chalamet. Start about Marty Musser, a young man with dreams no one respects, and he goes to hell and back in pursuit of greatness. And we're talking about, I think, table tennis here is what this movie is about,
Oh,
actually.
obviously.
Yes, because from that description, how would you not get that?
But
It is about ping pong. Yes, it's about popularizing ping pong in the 1950s.
wow,
So,
to
I
hell and
mean,
back.
who does not want to go and rush out to the box office on Christmas Day to go see Timothy Chalamet play ping pong?
No one believed in his dreams.
I
I mean, obviously, this is going to be a much better film than Dune. I mean, what?
And lastly, for the holiday season, you get Song Sung Blue, starring Kate Hudson and Hugh Jackman, and Lightning and Thunder, a Milwaukee husband and wife, Neil Diamond tribute act, experience soaring success and devastating heartbreak in their musical journey together. And this is based on a true story. So you have kind of a Neil Diamond cover band story.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for this movie and I was like, why?
Yeah.
Like, why is this a movie?
And why does it have to come out on Christmas?
Yeah.
I don't know.
For all the Neil Diamond fans, apparently.
All the Neil Diamond fans. Of course, for me, there will only ever be one movie about the Neil Diamond cover band that can ever hold any muster. And do you know what it is?
No, what is it?
Saving Silverman. Yes, the comedy from 2001, Saving Silverman, is the only Neil Diamond tribute band movie that we ever needed, and we did not need another. All right, so those are your releases: Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair, Avatar, Fire and Ash, David, Is This Thing On, The Housemaid, Ella McKay, Hamnet, Anaconda, Marty Supreme, Song Sung Blue. What do you think about the December releases? What are you most looking forward to, if anything?
To be honest, there's not really much of anything I would say I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
I know my kids are really looking forward to Five Nights at Freddy's too, and I'm looking forward to deciding if I'm going to allow them to see it in the theater or not, and then their disappointment if I say no. I Anaconda sounds interesting to me because I like the concept of remaking it like a real movie and having something weird happen. I think that's potential. I'd also like to point out that you totally missed November 27th, Killer Raccoons 2, Dark Christmas in the Dark. I mean, out of all the holiday season movies, that's clearly going to be the biggest release. That is a real movie, by the way. Killer Raccoons 2, Dark Christmas in the Dark.
Yes.
I have no other words.
It is
It, uh, it's apparently very dark. So dark that you
massive
could poison the
oversight on my
title.
part to leave that
Yeah,
out of the
I
rundown.
know. I'll probably see Avatar against my better judgment, just because I, even though it wasn't a good movie, I still like seeing the second one. So, I'll probably like seeing this, but I probably will not feel the need to ever see it again.
It's like it's still a, it feels like an affront to me that these movies are still coming out and that they still exist and that they still make so much money. It drives me nuts. It really does. Like, they're just so utterly forgettable, all of them. They're so utterly forgettable. They make a million, like billions of dollars. They make so much money, and there's just completely forgettable movies. And that's
Yeah,
just,
by the time the series is done, it'll probably make over $10 billion.
and so I think Zoe Saldana was saying, like, I started this when I was like 25, and I'm going to be doing these movies until I'm like 50. It's like, yeah, like I'm just so utterly uninterested in these movies, and I'm annoyed because I'm going to feel compelled to have to go see it. Because I do a movie podcast.
Maybe I can just be the one to sacrifice and go see it to tell you that it's not good, and then you don't have to worry about seeing it.
Yeah, we'll
This is
see.
what friends do for each other.
I know. I am seriously thinking about going to King of Prussia to see Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair, and spending like 5 hours in the theater watching so many people die and so much.
Yeah, that's a lot of samurai violence. A
They're
lot. A lot.
so good though, man. They're so good. Kill Bill, it was such an amazing movie. I'm always up and down on Tarantino. I usually love his movies or I hate them, and this is one I absolutely love. I love the Kill Bill series. It is so good. So that's the one I'm looking forward to, which is kind of sad considering like it's not a new movie, but that makes a total sense for the December releases. Am I kind of interested in Anaconda? Maybe, you know. The Housemaid, that kind of psychological thriller kind of seems interesting to me as well. I have to look more into that. I think I saw one trailer for that so far. So I don't know. Overall, I'm underwhelmed at the Christmas releases this year in terms of that. So one final question for you on this topic. Which movie makes more money? Wicked for Good or Avatar Fire and Ash?
I think Avatar is probably going to make over $1.5 billion again, so probably Avatar.
So yeah, that's interesting. I have to believe at some point audiences are going to give up on these movies. So I'm actually going to go out on a limb and say it's not going to be Avatar, Fire and Ash that
I
I'm
mean, that'd make me really happy if that's the case, but I don't
would
know.
do better.
To see it, to believe it.
Yeah. Of course, I was utterly shocked at how much money the second Avatar made, considering like nobody remembered the first one when it came out. So I don't know. But there is your box office holiday season movie primer. So make sure you check out what's in the box office. Support your local theaters. They can't help that there's a lack of tremendous movies coming out this holiday season. So go see some of the ones that you maybe are just like kind of interested in. So that's my pep talk for you for this
Go get them.
holiday season. Okay. All right, so we'll conclude today with our watch list, movies we watched over the last week. And Rob, what'd you watch?
I watched K-pop Demon Hunters,
Oh, really?
which
Okay.
is about a K-pop band who hunts demons.
Because why wouldn't they?
And it's a girl K-pop group who's battling a boy band made up of demons, obviously.
Obviously.
And yeah, there's a lot of music that I didn't understand half the words to because they were in Korean. But some fun, I guess, visual animated effects. And my kids both love the movie and they both sang along to the movie because they've seen the movie like 5 times on Netflix and they have the soundtrack on their phone. So I don't know. There's nothing objectionable about it, just it was not my K-pop cup of tea, I guess.
Indeed. Fair
And
enough.
that's I think the only movie I saw this week, so.
All right. I got two movies in the theaters this week. I went to see Nuremberg, which, if you're not familiar, was starred Rami Malek and Russell Crowe, and it details the story of the Nazi trials post-World War II. And that I thought it was fantastic. I did. I thought it was really, really good. I thought the acting in particular stood out tremendously. In particular, I thought it was one of the best performances I've seen for Rami Malek, who has had quite a bit of acclaim. But I thought he really did. He did exceptionally well. Rami Malek plays a psychologist who is in charge of basically like getting to know the prisoners, the Nazi prisoners that they were going to have on war. And of course, the biggest fish that they had was Hermann Goering, played by Russell Crowe. And so the playoff between Rami Malek and Russell Crowe really was excellent. And there was just some really, really good moments in the film. And there hasn't been a lot detailed about the Nuremberg trials in terms of film. And so it was really good to see some of that stuff put to the test. And so I very much enjoyed seeing Nuremberg. It's going to show up on my top 10 list for this year, undoubtedly. So if you haven't got a chance to see it, it is still hanging around in theaters in some places. So you still have a chance to go see it. And then I saw The Running Man. And I thought, like, I was disappointed. This is not Edgar Wright's best work by any stretch of the imagination. The combination of Edgar Wright and Glenn Powell, I thought, made for some serious intrigue there, but I don't think they really nailed this one. I thought the dialogue in this film was awful. It was really stupid. It kind of seemed like if I were to like make an argument for the film, I would say there's a chance they were trying to emulate kind of the campy, over the top kind of like late 80s, early 90s action film genre. And the problem is, though, like when you've seen like an 80s tribute film, like or even something like Stranger Things, there's almost like it taps into the nostalgia of, oh, this is cool, I miss this era, or I like this era, or something like that. You don't ever get a nostalgic feeling for like the 90s action thrillers as you watch it. So the only way this works is if they were trying to do that, but then it doesn't work because they didn't pull it off. Yeah. So and there were some times, like there were times in the film where I thought it was just like there were things that were just tone deaf, because it was, I mean, at times like openly advocating for political violence. I'm like, really? Now we're doing this? So I didn't particularly care for it. I mean, it wasn't the worst film I've seen. It's not the end of the world. It wasn't like egregiously bad by any stretch of the imagination. It just wasn't good. And that was disappointing because I thought they had an opportunity to do things that were really well. Plus, like the focus kind of was on like reality TV, but we've kind of like moved on from reality TV as a society. So it would have been interesting if you were going to kind of update it to kind of update what it was we were critiquing. Now, there is some like AI stuff in there that they hit on, but they don't really do much of a dive on that, other than just kind of put it out there. So yeah, Running Man, disappointing. Well, that is all the time we have for the episode this week. Make sure you visit filmforfans.com, like, subscribe, tell your friends. Until next time, enjoy the movies.